Praise the Lord. Blessed be His holy name. We worship the name of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Well, welcome once again to this evening service here on another wonderful, absolutely wonderful rainy day that the Lord has blessed us with. Yes, praise God. For lunch, my wife and I, we got curbside down the street, came back here to church to eat lunch, and she couldn't help but notice that everything on the side of the road was green, was extra green, was her words. Everything just looks extra green today. Praise God for that. Green is one of my favorite colors, and everything looked beautiful today. Yes, indeed. But nonetheless, welcome. Thank you for joining us right now on this live stream once again here on this Sunday night. I had the privilege to speak with a lot of you this afternoon, some whom I haven't spoken with for a long time, or seems to be a very long time. And I praise the Lord that He's taking care of every single one of us. He's guiding us through. He's taking care of our needs. He's keeping us under His wings. And that is very comforting. It's also come to my attention that the Lord has been answering prayers. Special prayer requests have come through from the saints, from people's relatives have had prayer requests sent through people who worship here with us, and they were blessed, and their specific prayer need was answered. And that's a blessing. People from across the country, as a matter of fact. And the Lord has been providing for every single one of us. He's been good to us. And we thank God for that. We give Him the honor and glory. And I just want to let you know that Co-Pastor Marcia, she is praying for you guys just about on a daily basis. There is countless fasts that have been done specifically for this congregation, for every single one of you. I think for the past 2 weeks now, just about, on and off for about 2 weeks. So rest assured that you are in our prayers. We are covering you with prayers, and we ask that you'll pray for us as well as we're ministering to the people, as we're keeping this rolling, and as we're seeking God's face, and as we're doing His will and complying to His will. Keep us also in prayer, because we're also under attack also. But the Lord has been gracious to us as well in keeping us now in these times where it seems to be uncertain, but that's okay. The Lord is in control. Bless His holy name. So, this morning, I had planned to speak for somewhere around 45 minutes to an hour, and the service went for slightly over an hour and a half. And praise God for that. We had a good time here in the house of God. And I don't plan to be another hour and a half, just so you know. So, by all means, I do plan to share some key verses with you this evening. But before we get into the word of the Lord, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless Your holy name. We exalt Your holy name, Lord, for You are worthy to be praised. We worship You, Lord, Almighty God. You are our God. You are, Lord, our Redeemer, our Healer. You are faithful, Lord. And we thank You for Your kindness. We thank You, Lord, for Your love. Be exalted, Lord, in our midst. Be exalted, Lord, in all that we do. We worship You, Lord. And may this time that we are quarantined, and this time, Lord, that we have in our hands, may it be used, Lord, for the honor and glory of Your name. be glorified and be magnified, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm thinking I might be maybe somewhere around half hour or so, 45 minutes. I have a list of scriptures to give you this evening. And upon some of the things that I have been conversing with people for the past few days, it's very interesting to know or to find out what is God for us? What is God to you? And what is God to me? I was having a conversation with a sister this evening, and she mentioned that she sees the Lord as a father figure. And specifically is that, and she sees herself as a child of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. 100%, I'm right there in accordance with you, sister. I am a child of God also. And if you were to ask me the same question, which I was asked the same question, by a man who is with the Lord now, his name was Anton Antonovich. He had been here several times. He visited us several times. He's a brother from Ukraine. He's now with the Lord. Just before I rededicated my life to the Lord, fully, I mean like I meant it, I had the privilege of having a dinner with him. He was here in the United States. I was invited. And he asked me that question through a translator. And he looked me dead in the eyes, and he was very serious, and he asked me this question, "What is the Lord to you?" And immediately I had an answer for him with conviction, without a shadow of a doubt. I looked at him with this, as convicted as I possibly can, and said, "He is my friend." And that's who the Lord was to me at that time. He was my friend. And there was a time in my life where that's all I can see the Lord being, is just my buddy. He is my best friend. He is my bestie. He's right there with me, and he takes care of me. He loves me. But that was to the extent of it. And there's nothing wrong with that neither. I still think that he's my friend. But now I'm beyond that. I put him in a much higher category as a friend. And I'm trying to have you understand where I'm coming from, because if you were to think about your friend, and then you would think about your parent or your parents, I would hope that you would put your parents above your friend. Or if you think about your spouse, I would hope that you would put your spouse above your best friend, right? So understand where I'm coming from here. Yes, he is a friend to us, 100%. But ultimately, he's more to me than just that. I could never leave the Lord right there at a friendship basis. 100% not. But nonetheless, the title of my sermon this evening is What God Is to Us. And it is important for us to know what God truly is to us. Now, we hear this all the time, you know, and it's almost like a track. He is our Lord and Savior. He is our Redeemer. And you go down the list, right? And you probably go down the list in the same sequence. But I don't want it to be a track. I want it to be a conviction. And I want you to realize also, and I want you to be convinced of that exactly, knowing exactly who God is. The way that you view Him, the way that you see Him, your expectations from your God, based upon the promises that He has for you and I in His Word. How do you see the Lord? And there are many explanations in the Bible as far as who the Lord is. How is He? The things that He does, His nature, His character. And we're going to cover just a few of them this evening. Now, I want to start out by saying this. The author of Psalms 89 is identified as Ethan the Ezrahite, a wise man of Solomon's time. This is a wise man. This is a man who was gifted with knowledge. Now, the Bible says that no one has been wiser, no man, no carnal man, has been wiser, a normal human being, than Solomon. Right? Now, I'm not talking about our Lord Jesus, who was here in the flesh. He is deity. He is the Lord. But as far as a carnal man, just like you and I, a normal human being, no other wiser man has ever walked the earth but Solomon. And the Bible says that no one will ever be like him after him. But there are men in previous times, in the past, that were highly knowledgeable, that had wisdom. And a lot of them feared God. And this man, Ethan, the Ezrahite, pardon me, does have a psalm in the Bible under his belt. But I want to bring to your attention where he is mentioned in the Bible. And I don't think I have this verse up. Are you able to put up a verse for me on the fly? Yes? My apologies. I usually give a list of verses to be put up, but that's 1 Kings. And I think this one missed the cut. But I really want to show you, I want to bring your attention to what I'm talking about right now. I want to introduce to you Ethan. Verses 4, verse 31. 1 Kings. Chapter 4, verse 31. And you can put it up once you have it. Thank you for bearing with me here. There it is. Now here we go. This is what it says. Actually, back up for me real quick. Put verse 30 right there. I was reading this earlier, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to start with verse 30. So thank you. There it is. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. Now this sets the tone right here. Solomon's wisdom excelled everything. And he was, from one coast to the other coast, the Bible says that Solomon had it going on. His wisdom excelled the wisdom of all men. Now can I have next verse, please? For he was wiser than all men. And check out who's the first person mentioned. Then Ethan, the Ezrahite, is the very first name that is given, whom Solomon is being compared to. This Ethan guy. And then it continues. Then Heman, or Haman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. His fame meaning Solomon's fame. So here, the Bible mentions this guy, Ethan. And now, Psalms 89, the 89th psalm in the book of Psalms, has been placed there by Ethan. Praise God. This first part of the psalm, the beginning of the psalm remembers with joy and thanksgiving the covenant that God had made with David, in the very beginning of Psalms 89. And the psalmist begins his psalm by saying these words, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Does that ring a bell? Did someone else say these words? "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." This is obviously a man who loved God, who feared the Lord. He loved him. Let me remind you of the title to this evening's service, "What God Is to Us." And here you can clearly see in the beginning of the psalm who God was to Ethan. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Then he explains why by noting some of the promises that the Lord had made to King David. And what I want to bring to your attention right now is a key verse in Psalms 89. And I want to bring your attention now to verses 26. Can I please have Psalms 89, 26? "He shall cry to me." This is the Lord saying right now. "He shall cry to me, 'You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.'" Right there. This is what the Lord is saying. In these verses, the Lord invites to call him upon him as Father, God, Rock, and Savior. Four things. And the terms used in this passage help us better understand one thing. And what is that one thing? That is title. It helps us understand a title. And these are the titles specifically mentioned right now in the 26th verse of Psalms 89. Right then and there, Father, God, Rock, and Savior. Right then and there. And we will discuss these titles briefly. I won't go into deep detail, but I'll be as detailed as I possibly can so we could understand a little bit some of these natures and some of these characteristics of the Lord, as far as who he is to us. And the first thing that I want to mention about as far as what he is to us is a father. Our Lord is a father to us. God is our father physically. Okay? Listen to me what I'm saying. God is our physical father by creation. He created us. But he becomes a spiritual father to those who come to him also. Can I bring your attention right now to Matthew 6, 9? "In this matter, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" Hallowed be thy name. This is how our Lord Jesus instructed how we should pray. And this is the very opening of our prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Father. So, that's the first thing that we have to realize and know. And when we understand the concept of a parenthood, when we understand the concept of care, of caress, of being a parent. Or potentially we look back and we look at how our parents were to us, how loving they were to us, how much they gave to us, how much they sacrificed to us. Just imagine that and place that in the God that you serve, in how much he loves you, and then multiply that, poof, by an unimaginable number, because this is what the Lord is ready to do for every single one of us. Our Father who is in heaven. Can I please have verse 32? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The Lord knows your needs. He also knows your wants. He knows exactly what you're going through right now. And don't you ever take a moment to ever doubt if the Lord ever cares for you. Because He does. He sees what you're going through. He sees your needs. And He wants to take care of it. Just as a loving Father. And now, remaining in the book of Matthew, let's go on to chapter 7. I'm sorry. Yes, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, your Father, right? Who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask. How much more is the question right now? Just imagine. If my daughter asks me for something to drink, I'm going to make sure that it's cold. When she's able to drink cold water. Right? Because they say cold water is bad for your teeth. So we've got to be mindful of that. A warm mouth and cold teeth. But then I think if I ask the Lord for a cup of water, it's probably going to be ice cold. It's going to be on a hot summer day. Refreshing. Anyways. How much more? Just imagine that. What will the Lord do for us? And let us understand this concept. And this is what I said in the very beginning. Us understanding who God is to us. Will things change? Will your prayer change? Several times I've said here in this pulpit, if you knew your confidence, the confidence in your God, would your prayer change? If you knew exactly who you are in Him, if you knew that He listened to your prayer every single time you pray, would you pray differently? Would you feel differently about it? And now I ask the same question. You knowing who God is, and knowing that He is a loving Father, and He is willing to go beyond what we can imagine, beyond what we can think, does that change things? Do you know this? Is the question right now. And Father implies to one thing, and that is children. How and when do we become God's spiritual children? Is the question right now. And I just have one verse to give you. And that is John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is how we become children of God. We dedicate our life to the Lord. We accept Him in our hearts. We leave our past ways behind. We are baptized in water, submerged, and then we follow Him. We obey Him. We keep His commandments. Once we become His children, He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to obey His instructions. And I'm going to give you a small illustration. This past week, I was at home in my living room, and my wife was in the kitchen. I was watching over our daughter, and she was on the floor. She crawled a little bit some ways. She usually likes to be right on our eyesight, but she crawled some ways out. And I said, "Hey," and then she stopped and looked at me because she started playing with, I think, with my shoe. And everything is starting to go in her mouth. So I didn't want my shoe to go in her mouth. That wouldn't have been cool. So she stopped and I said, "No." And then she just looked at me and then I was like, "Come." And immediately she put my shoe down and she crawled over and came over. And you know how happy that made me feel. That was awesome. That was amazing. If she was old enough to eat candy, I'd probably give her a piece of candy. But imagine how the Lord feels when we obey Him. When we obey His commandments. You know, if we know how to do good things and show love to our children, we who have an evil nature and an evil, I don't want to say evil spirit, but we who have an evil nature, I'll just leave it at that. Imagine God, who is the essence of life, who is the essence of love. Imagine what He could do for us when we obey Him, when we become His children. I want to bring to your attention right now 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to cover verses 13 through 16. And it says this, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest upon your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," there's the kicker there, "not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" You know, one of the hardest things that a person can do is to seek holiness and to be holy as our Lord is holy. And oftentimes we're right there on the right track. We're right there, pace by pace, right? We're right there. "Okay, Lord, yes. Things are going right. Okay, everything is doing great. I worship you, Lord. I'm right here with you." You're right there quarantined, and then you're sent to the store to get a bottle of milk, and some blessed of the Lord just cut you off. Oh, man. And you're like, "Praise God." Or somebody just slammed their brakes right in front of you for no apparent reason. You know, but nonetheless, it is achievable. Praise the Lord for His grace. Praise the Lord for His forgiveness. Praise the Lord for His blood. But nonetheless, we need to strive to be just like the Lord. And it's possible. It does take dedication. It does take effort. Can I also have 1 John 3, 1 through 3? First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Thank you very much. And it says this, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God." And verse 3, please. "And it has yet been revealed what we shall be." Well, I'm sorry, "but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope," which is you and I, "in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." There we go, folks. Here is something that we can all look forward to. We can be purified day by day, every single day, if we come to the Lord Jesus. He can cleanse us. We have that hope to be with Him one day. And we ought to be pure as the Lord is pure. Now, this entire time I have covered the topic of being a father figure in our Heavenly Father. Now, for the second title, He is our God. And God means deity, almighty, a divine being. Now, in the Bible, in the very beginning, it describes God as being one thing, and that is a creator. And we all know this verse, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right there, it's mentioning God as being a creator. He created all things in the beginning. And now, speaking of creation, can I please have verses 26 and 27? "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything creeping, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Here the Bible clearly mentions and clearly puts a title on the Lord in the very beginning as being the creator. He is the beginning. He started it all. He created everything that exists. Now, beings have names. And we're talking about our God here. And what is God's name? First, I want to bring your attention to Exodus 3, 4. Exodus 3, 4 says this, "So when the Lord saw," here we go, "when the Lord saw that He turned aside to look, God called to Him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses,' and He said, 'Here I am.'" Right there. He is God. He is the Lord, first and foremost. And we have to understand this, that He is Lord over all, ruler over everything. He is our God. Can I please have now two verses past, verses 6. And it says, "Moreover, He said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." There we go. He is God. There's nothing else. He is the Lord. He is God. No one else has that title whatsoever. That is it. And now, moving a little bit forward, same chapter, now verses 13 through 16. And it says this, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, "The God of your fathers who has sent, the God of your fathers has sent me to you," and they say to me, "What is this name?" what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord.'" Verses 16, please. There you go. "The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is a memorial to all generations." So, these are the names of God. I am God, the Lord, the great I am. This is his name. And now, same book, Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. And it says, "And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them.'" Now, isn't this an interesting verse? "By my name, Lord." They didn't know me that way. The thought here seems to be that he would now reveal himself as Lord in a new way, in a brand new way to those folks instead of the past. And that is, in new power to deliver his people. He had made a covenant and was about to fulfill it by freeing the Israelites from Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. And now the name changed. The Lord was going to reveal himself in such a powerful way, in such a dramatic way, in a dramatic fashion, that only the great I am could reveal at that time. And now, who is God to us? He is El Shaddai, our provider. He's our redeemer. He's our protector. He can come through just like that. The Lord can reveal himself to us in such a great way. Indeed, all we have to do is ask and come to him. He is our God. And now, moving forward, he is our rock, as mentioned in the 89th verse of Psalms. And a rock is a symbol of strength, power, steadfastness, which provides protection and refuge from enemy. And in this particular application, what do we need protection from right now? Of a little tiny virus, microscopic size virus, that has gone all over the world, spreading like wildfire. That is our enemy right now. And in this time, the Lord is a rock to us. He is our salvation. Can I please have Psalms 18, 1 through 3? And it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I save. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And so shall you be saved from this disease that's out there. So shall you be saved from this virus. And in the desert setting, okay, in a large desert, a large rock often provides a place of shelter from the burning sun and from the elements and from the wind. Let me bring your attention to Isaiah 32, 1 and 2. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, as river of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Right there. And now, the weary land right now that we're in, as a matter of fact, the entire world, right now things aren't looking very nice. We need protection. It's been clearly stated that a normal store-bought over-the-counter mask isn't enough to protect us from this microscopic virus. Now, there's all these controversies, you know, all these things being said left and right, and people are saying all types of stuff about this, that, and the other thing, and whatnot, but ultimately, people are dying. People are being infected. And we need refuge from this desert out there. And now the question begs, who is our rock? And the answer will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And it says this, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? It was Christ." So when I ask you the question, who is our rock? Christ is our rock. And now we trust in Him. We rely on Him for our protection, for our needs, for every single thing. And now, finally, He is our Savior. This implies that there's something from which we need to be saved from. 100%. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." This is why we need a Savior. Because we are sinners. Because our sinful nature, our things that we have come short on, the things that we do that we're not supposed to do, have created a barrier between us and our God. And we need a Savior, a mediator, someone who can bring us back to God. And that is the blood of Jesus. And that's for all of us, every single one of us. Every single one of us have sinned. Every single one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And this is why we need a Savior. Can I please have Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that speaks about you and I. We all have fallen short of God. And this is why we need a Savior. And it also implies that this thing from which we need to be saved puts us in some kind of danger also. The next verse that I want to bring to your attention is Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine, the souls of the fathers, as well as the souls of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. This is the danger that I'm referring to. So, we need a Savior. We need a Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord is our Savior. The Bible says that when we call to Him, we can call Him to be our Savior, to be our rock, to be our Father, to be our God, our Savior. For the final verse this evening, 1 Timothy 2:3-4. And it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the will of the Father. This is the will of God, that we don't perish, that we trust in Him, that we lean on Him, that we trust in Him in every single situation, that He could be in control of all the circumstances, that we can trust in Him 100% of the way. In conclusion, I just have a few questions. Can you truly call upon the Lord as your spiritual Father? Is the first question that I want you to ask. The second one is this. Do you openly acknowledge Him as the God who rules in your life? And the third one, is He the rock from whom you always seek refuge and shelter in the time of need? And the final question is He your Savior? After some of these verses that I have presented to you, I would hope that you would know who the Lord is to you, who the Lord is to us. He is our rock. He is our strength. He is our fortress. And He is there every single time we call upon Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. We bless Your holy name. And Lord, at this time, Lord, at this moment, we ask. I ask, Lord, right now that You would be as clear as You can possibly be to everyone, Lord, who calls upon Your name. For everyone, Lord, who calls upon You. Right around, Lord, in these times of quarantine, we need You, Lord, more than ever to supply for our every need. We need Your healing power. We need Your healing touch. We need You, Lord, to save us from our sins. And I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell strongly, Lord, inside of us. Every single one of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that there is no doubt in no one's mind exactly who You are. You are, Lord, our strength, our rock, our fortress. You are our God, and You are our loving Heavenly Father. We bless Your holy name, Lord. We love You. If we have not told You, Lord, today that we love You, we are here to tell You, Lord, right now, we love You. I love You, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. May you be, Lord, glorified every single day of our lives. Be magnified, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you for joining us, joining me in this live stream. Thank you so much for tuning in and staying the entire time. I would like for you to know that we are praying for you, for every single one of you. We're praying for your protection. We're praying that the Lord will meet your every single need. I am still going down the list of people that I'm calling, and I would like to speak to every single one of you. Hear your voice. Make sure you're doing fine. But nonetheless, rest assured that the Lord is with you every step of the way. Please remember that. And I will be back Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We are live streaming every single service, with the exception of Tuesday morning service. But every single service will be live streamed. And who knows, it could very well be that every single service might be live streamed, you know, who knows. But it's something that we're going to figure out, you know, once the time comes. But nonetheless, thank you so much for joining us this evening. May the Lord bless you. God bless you.